Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
As students head back to school, many do so in buildings that are covered in that most collegiate of plants, ivy. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it is Patrick Murphy. Hi there, Murph.
Hello, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we're talking about ivy and types to consider growing. And we have beautiful ivy-covered walls here at Illinois State University that I just love, and they look so beautiful. That's like my favorite use of ivy, having it climbing up a wall.
It has charm, and it has a scholarly charm at that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it on buildings that are not scholarly, they tend to be more woven into nature, into the settings that are there.
Yes.
And there's lots of ivy to choose from. The ivies that grow on buildings here on campus are largely English ivy, which is Heterohelix.
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 What a great name.
Helix, that's neat. And then, I think there's an ivy that's probably the most known in the world, and that's the ivy that grows on the back wall of Wrigley Field.
Oh!
And I know there's a lot of Cub fans out there, so What you're dealing with there is Parthenocissus tricuspidata.
Gesundheit.
That's Boston ivy. Boston ivy.
Boston ivy. Well, what makes Boston ivy different from, say, English ivy?
Well, I think that there are more cultivars that are commonly used in landscaping and ornamental landscaping from English ivy than there are from the Boston ivy. There are other Boston ivy cultivars.
Oh.
But a lot of the English ivy cultivars are chosen because, some of them bear their leaves into the winter, but they're not really an evergreen. They're just really tough.
Uh-huh.
And they have a fall color that has some character, wine-colored fall color. So if you had light-colored backing or light-colored masonry with the wine, burgundy-colored fall foliage during the middle of the winter, yeah, you're getting your money's worth out of that ivy.
I'll say.
And then in either place at the back walls of Wrigley Field here at Illinois State University and other institutions that are managing trees and things like that, oftentimes the vines are removed in a rotational pattern. So they regenerate and grow because vines can become a home for pests and,
So that's why they pull the ivy from the walls.
And it can degrade the outside of a building, particularly mortar and masonry type surfaces. It can degrade them. And most of the ivy have little structures that it actually sets into a surface to hang on to.
Wait a minute. Are you saying it's got like little suckers
on
its fingers?
Little tentacle structures, and I should know the name of them, but I apologize, biology folks. I don't recall that one right now.
That's okay.
But some vines are not really ivy. They're not in the ivy family, and they climb the same way, or they literally wrap themselves around things to climb, and so they need a structure. But we can't skip over another vine that we all really know well, and it's the vine that makes the grape for the drink known as wine.
Oh.
And the study of that is viticulture.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this whole Vitaceae family that viticulture deals with, and it splits into three branches. You have the American vitis plants, you have the Euro-Asiatic, so those are European and Asian varieties, where they can grow in either place. And then you have the ones that are strictly Asiatic, but most of them come from that Euro-Asiatic variety in the middle. You know, your Pinot Noirs and your Cabernets and things like that. I love saying that with a redneck accent. I'm sorry. I can't resist doing that.
Is it easy to grow that type?
I think that for that, no, it's not.
Oh.
If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it.
I hear that.
The good news is table grapes are easy to grow, and you can grow them with a modest rig, or you can, put up this small set of power poles with cross arms in your yard. And the Concord grape is the best. It's for all things. Mm-hmm. It's for grape jelly.
My grandmother grew those.
Yeah. And we have to talk a little bit about ornamental vines.
Oh, absolutely. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, it's for the love of ivy and those ornamental vines.
So in the ornamental vines, there are as many as you can think of. You know, everyone has a short list of favorites, and I have a short list of favorites that I wanted to share with everybody. And
great.
There's the trumpet vine. It has these spectacular orangey trumpet-colored trumpet-shaped flowers that are orange. And the hummingbirds love them, is why I think they're really neat. And it's an aggressive vine. It has some weight to it, you know. So if you
you have to be careful what you plant it to climb up on.
That's right. All right. Right. So you could start it on a little string that's, you know, running out over the top of something, and the weight of the vine will overcome the string, or it will pull away from the string. They need some heavier structure. And particularly for other woody ornamental vines, like there are some climbing roses, a lot of work. I prefer something a little less work intensive, so I like the climbing hydrangea.
Oh.
And they test your patience. They grow very slow. They're kind of hit and miss on the flowering. You can't set your watch by when they're going to flower, but when it does.
And why do you like these guys?
They have wonderful foliage. When the leaves are gone, you get this peeling burnt orange colored stems, and I think that has a lot of charm. And it's a vine that's great for things like, you know, if you live in a place where you're mailbox is out on a post on the edge of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great place for a climbing hydrangea. Climbing roses are great, but there's thorns.
Oh, yeah. I'm done with the thorns.
Climbing hydrangea give you a little kiss every time you go get the mail. No big deal. Easy to control, really slow growing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got your Akebia vine. It's this pointed, coarse-looking vine. With a star-type flower.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's a vine that'll grow in a pot. So if you have a garden on an elevated platform, or, you know, in your garage rooftop.
Or if you're in a condo, all you have is
space,
a patio.
Yeah, you could put this in a nice urn and have a little trellis that sticks into the pot or secures to the wall. And this pot-borne vine will grow right up there. You can get some nice flowers from it. But even if you don't, the foliage is really nice in these pretty little star-shaped flowers, Akebia vine. And ornamental oregano.
Oregano?
And it's not really a vine, but it pours out of things. So if you have a planter box with some vegetables and flowers and things like that, and you know, you've got that spot where the dirt washes out every time you water and every time it rains. Well, squeeze some ornamental oregano in there, and you can dry it and use it for culinary endeavors.
So just because it's called ornamental doesn't mean I can't eat it.
Right. It's
okay.
Milder. You might actually prefer it to the traditional oregano.
Good point.
But it has these fantastic kind of xylophone-like stacked leaves that come in pastel pinks and greens, and they're really to die for.
Oh, wow.
And they just look like this little, you know, pastel slinky creeping over the edge of your planter box. And,
I've always wanted one.
You're just going to love it. You know, they smell nice and just a really hard-to-find color for your vines.
Oh,
and they love the pot. How can you beat that?
Okay. What's your favorite ivy of all time?
I like Thorndale ivy. It's an ivy that oftentimes is used as a ground cover on the ground, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an ivy for all situations. It'll grow as a ground cover. And if you have some stones or boulders or little contours in your landscape, that Thorndale ivy will grow right up over the top of it. And it'll maintain a nice low horizon of vegetation. But if you planted it near something that had a vertical takeoff, it would do the job for you there too.
Okay, great, Murph. Thank you so much. Some great suggestions there for ivy and climbers of all sorts. Next week on GLT's Grow, Dave from Kansas needs some help with his apparently ailing katsura tree. So we're going to put that question to Murph. And how about you? Do you have a gardening question or problem you'd like Murph to take on? Just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form and send it along to us. A photo is welcome as well. We would love to hear from you. That's wglt.org/grow.